On Halftime, Nathan Thompson, the People's Hamstring, with the weekend footy preview for the new Mexican chicken sub from Subway.
Always good to see the big man on a Friday afternoon. Rain, hail or shine, Tomo, good afternoon.
Hello, Danny boy. Good to be with you. Hello to all the 1116 SEN listeners out there. We're in for a wet winter footy sort of weekend, aren't we?
Looks like we might be, Nathan.
Yeah, have to pull the socks up, put the long studs on and get the hands dirty.
Long sleeve, Tomo, or no, too tough for that still?
No, I was never a long sleeve sort of man. Just back in our sort of day.
Oil it up.
Daniel was very itchy.
Yeah, the woolen ones.
The real wool.
They were no good.
Yes.
They were no good, but it's going to be an interesting weekend, Tom, I reckon.
Yes, last weekend, very interesting. Some of the results that were thrown up, we learned a bit more about some of the teams. I've got a couple of teams in my banned list.
Oh!
Some are banned.
Banned?
Yep.
Can we put them on is that like a wider banned list? Is that official, or is it just
It's a hamstring banned list. Official.
You've got a hamstring banned list after 2 weeks.
And there's a game this weekend between two of my banned clubs.
Oh,
that
no.
I've had to pick one. And I've picked it based on that they are less banned than the others.
Righto.
That's how technical I'm getting, half.
I can't wait to find out which game that is. We'll do that on the Friday footy preview. We'll get to that very, very shortly. In fact, Matty Campbell from Sportsbet will join us later on with all the latest markets in the build-up to around 3. In fact, let's get to Friday night footy, Tomo. It is a fascinating game, I reckon. Tonight, from the MCG, 7:50 the bounce, and we'll be there, of course, with the footy coverage from 7, with the coach's box from 6, with Mick Malthouse. Looking forward to that. But Collingwood, with Dwyer coming in and Galt coming in, Fasolo and Sinclair out, there is still question marks, as legitimate as they may be, or not legitimate, with Pendlebury and Adams after their week, Tomo. For the Saints, Schneider comes in for Curran. There is still concern about Nick Revolt, the skipper and the champ. For the Saints, what is going to happen, and which way are you leaning in this game?
It's interesting. When we talk to Matty Campbell, I'll be really keen to find out from him why the odds are so stacked in the favour of the Pies at the moment. They had a win against Brisbane, which has shown that the Brisbane in the Lions' first 2 weeks have been really poor.
Yep.
They were poor last week against the Kangaroos.
Last week
they got beaten comfortably. Three-quarter time, they were 50-odd points down. I think it was 54 points down against against Adelaide Crows.
Yep.
And Crows, they put the queue in the rack completely.
Yep. No doubt.
And they kicked a few goals in the end, which I think made it look a little bit nicer. But what it did show was, at the moment, Collingwood injuries, loss of players, Beams and the like out of their footy club, that the underbelly is a bit soft at the moment, and they're very, very gettable. So I certainly don't see it being the way it is. And from a forward line perspective, the Collingwood team, it's just not functioning. Like, Travis Cloke is just not in rhythm at the moment. Last week, he tried his guts out in that game. I was watching through the binoculars Travis Cloke very, very closely in his work rate, his tackling, what he was trying to do. He was in there having a red-hot go, but it's just not clicking for him at the moment. And Jess White was looking more dangerous on the ground than Cloke, except White, he just doesn't have a football brain. Unfortunately, he is a terrific athlete. Everyone has spoken about it a lot. He just doesn't quite have that understanding or that game sense of when he gets the ball or when he's leading or where he needs to be on the ground. But my God, he is a very, very good athlete. And when he gets himself in positions that are good positions, he can be a dangerous player. So they need to get something going there. But for the Pies, they got smashed through the middle of the ground last week. I mean, the Crows went inside 50 at will and put way too much pressure on that defense. And the Saints, their effort up at Gold Coast. Now, once again, Gold Coast, can we take much out of that game from the Gold Coast Suns? Because they were very, very poor as well.
They were poor, poor.
I'm trying to find form lines from which of these two teams should come into this game with that, you know, with the advantage to actually win it. At the moment, I'm probably saying if Pendlebury is out, I'm starting to lean a little bit the way of St Kilda. And the reason for that, I thought they were absolutely fantastic in the contest last week. They actually do have a core of players through that middle of the ground. Obviously, they need a good effort from Longa versus Grundy. Great matchup there. Two young ruckmen trying to ply their trade. And then it's the midfield of both teams that you look at. So Swan and Pendlebury, obviously, the mainstays there. But then it's Adams and Varco, Dwyer coming into the team. And then you've got players like Seedsman, Blair going through the middle of the ground. And then from St Kilda's point of view, Billings comes through the middle of the ground. I thought Wright was fantastic last week. He plays more off half-back flank, but Nunes and Weller. You've also got
Dunstan and Stephen, those blokes.
Stephen, those sort of guys. So at the moment, when I look at it, if Pendlebury comes out of that midfield, I actually think that the Saints have actually got a deeper lot of guys that can go through the middle of that ground and give them the contested ball edge, if you like, from those two teams, and also more rotations through the middle of the ground. Josh Bruce has been fantastic.
Bruce.
Nick Riewoldt, is he going to play? Well, there's another one. What's the SMS machine been saying,
SMS
huh?
SMS is suggesting that perhaps that query is well-founded, is what we're being told. So I'm not sure. We have no confirmation from anyone, but that seems to be a common theme via the SMS. And an interesting question from Krazza, I reckon, Tomo, as we assess this game, which was sent earlier this afternoon. If neither Riewoldt or Pendlebury play, where does the balance fall then? Let's say they both don't play, Tomo, which is a very real possibility. Listening to Barmy talk this morning with KB, I read into that he knew that Riewoldt wasn't going to play. Or he thought that, not knew, maybe thought. And that he sort of knew that Pendlebury wouldn't either. I don't know that. It's just reading between the lines. But if neither of them play, Tomo, who does that favour?
I think it's a flip of the coin game. I really do. This is the toughest game to pick for me from the weekend. And I'm actually going to go with Collingwood. And I'm going to go on trust that Collingwood as a whole on the MCG have got the ability to get over the top in this game. And really, I'm not going to sit here and say to the listeners that I've got a formula that says, I've got a feeling that obviously Saints, I mentioned it, I think they're going to have a little bit more in that midfield, but I think across the ground it'll be the leaders of the Collingwood team that'll get them over the line in this game. I think their young players are very good. I think Langdon across halfback is going to be a very, very good player for them. I think that Frost is a good defensive player for them. I really like Marley Williams as a defensive player. I think he's going to be a player of the future. They're concerned. They need more out of Travis Varko. No doubt about that one. Adams and Crisp, they've got to stop turning the football over. Real concern for the Pies at the moment is their use of the ball by foot. But I think when you look at tonight's game, it's going to be more of that long-kicking, competitive game of football and less of the short chipping. I'm going to go with the Pies in a really close one, mate. I think the Saints are up to this one up to their eyeballs in it.
Yeah, I tend to agree. It's a bit on trust. It's not a bad way of looking at this from the Pies' point of view. You would expect them to be able to fight a little bit in this game tonight. Your point about Adams and I'm not sure who else, it might have been Crisp, turning the ball over. The great part about the Saints game has been their pressure. Their turnovers created so far this year, they're sixth in the competition for turnovers created, and they're number one for scores from turnovers, from points from turnovers. I mean, that's a really big stat for St Kilda at this stage of the year, and where they've come from. So that's a conditions like this where the ball's going to be on
the deck. The only two things I'd say to that half, and I commentated the GWS game, the Giants were shocking with their skills against St Kilda. The Giants had so much of the ball against the Saints pretty much freely and turned that ball over. Now, give St Kilda credit, their pressure was okay, but the skill level of the Giants in that round one, I thought, was quite poor. So there's one where they would have got some scores as well from it. And last week, my gee whiz, Gold Coast Suns.
Gee whiz.
They're on the ban list at the moment, huh?
Oh, they're on the ban list. That's the game. Oh, no, just one of your teams.
They're
the
just one. There's actually a few. I've got a few. I'm going to go for the Pies, half. But all right. It's a two-goal game for me.
I'm on the Pies. If Pendlebury doesn't play and Riewoldt plays, I reserve the right to tip the St Kilda Footy Club. If Riewoldt doesn't play, I'm certainly tipping the Pies. And if they both don't play, I'm leaning towards the Pies in a top one. I'm with you.
Right.
I'm with you. I'm reserving the right to find out selection of the team on this one.
I'm just thinking they're both out, and I'm going to go the Pies just.
Righto, Pies for both of us, effectively, tonight. We'll get to a break. We'll come back and get through the other games in round number three. Carlton Essendon's next one up for grabs, and there's plenty to talk about with that one. And we will find out which two teams are on Tomo's ban list. They're competing in round three. More on that after this. 21 past three, a moist Friday afternoon, but we are building up to a big footy weekend. Round three action coming your way. Plenty of it on Melbourne's home of footy, 11:16 SEN. Big Nathan Thompson calling some of the action as well. We'll get to that shortly. But the next game up for grabs, Tomo, on the Friday footy preview is Carlton and Essendon. MCG tomorrow, 1:45, the old Saturday afternoon time slot. Almost back to the old days, Tomo.
Perfect.
Inns for the Blues after a debacle last week. Walker, Armfield, Cripps and Boone. The young fella from Ireland, Karen Byrne, from County Louth. White out with that knee injury. Tut, Menzel out with the calf, and Clay Smith out as well. Is Clay or Clem? Which one was he? Clay. Clem.
That's a really good... I think it's Clem. I
can't remember which one it is. I think it is Clem. I think you might be right. And for the Bombers, Dustin Fletcher is in, and out goes Jimmy Gwilt, who played in his first game and had a good win last weekend for the Bombers. Brendan Goddard plays game number 250 and Ben Howlett game number 100. They were awesome last week against the Hawks. A different story at the Blues. Been a bit of feedback about them through the week. Tomo, where does this game sit?
Yeah, off the SMS there, Diesel just saying that he feels a Carlton revival this week. That or a slaughter. great text. Great text, Georgie boy.
Bit of grey area there.
Yeah, we had a bit of a giggle in the break over that one. And I'm certainly sitting in the second portion of that text message that I think the Bombers and the Bombers by the Flemington Strait. Carlton, gee, there's something severely wrong with their fitness at Carlton, considering the first two games they've played, not a whimper after quarter time, or they just pack up stumps and bat under the arm and it's time to go home, because they were quite competitive opening quarter against the Eagles, but after that, not a whimper.
It's two first quarters in a row they've been competitive, and
well,
they've dropped off.
But after that, the defensive run is poor, like pathetic. The way Josh Kennedy was able to just run around, and we all know how long Subiaco Oval is. It's not easy to get back and defend that ground.
Yep.
But their lack of work rate after quarter time was scary from Carlton.
I agree.
And one thing I must say about the Bombers, I watched them and called them against Sydney, and they were fantastic for three quarters. They were fantastic for probably three and a half quarters against the Hawks. There's no reason why this team, their intensity at the football, their commitment to the contest, just fantastic. Their pressure on the opposition, very, very good from the Bombers. So there's no real reason to go away from them. You know, their midfield, they've been working on this. They're getting great consistent effort from a lot of different players going through there. Tom Bell Chambers, you know, he's a very solid ruckman in there. Guys like Zach Merritt and Collier, these sort of guys that are the extras or the, you know, the role players on top of the stars in Watson and the like, those guys are doing a very good job. They seem to be playing to, you know, they didn't get to play practice matches well. You know what? These guys seem to understand the structure and what they need to do pretty well. And defensively, they've been super strong. Cale Hooker's having a great year so far. He's doing a great job. But Michael Hibbard and Bagley, these type of players, I think they're coming of age. You know, they're getting to that stage where they're, you know, 100 games for, is it Howlett? No, it's Howlett's 100 games. But players like that, they're getting up around that 100 game mark. And they're right in the sweet spot of their career. I mean, they're experienced players now. They know what it's all about. They've played together for a long time. They seem like they've got it. You know, they're backing their coach in. They have to be backing their coach in with everything that's gone on, and they're still playing with this commitment. So there's no doubt about that one. You know, they've got a really strong list. Can I just big tick for Michael Hurley? Half.
Yep.
He's been a very inconsistent player for this team for a long time. He's probably played his best two games of footy, I think, that I've seen the last 2 weeks. A few skill errors against Sydney, but last week against the Hawks, I thought he was fantastic. He's a great competitor. This might be the year for Michael Hurley. Don't like the haircut, but that's okay. He's playing great footy, and so are they. So Bombers for me.
Yep.
Blues, gee, Menzel for me is one of their only shining lights at the moment. Looking forward to seeing some of these other players, other younger players that are coming through. But at the moment, they're just not getting enough contributors to be competitive for four quarters.
Essendon for me to win that one pretty comfortably. Menzel, when he's your shining light and he's out, that's a bit of a concern for the Blues. Adelaide and Melbourne, Adelaide Oval tomorrow. We will be there. Maddie Granlund, Kevin Bartlett, Daryl Wakeland calling all of the action. Scotty Thompson in with Kelly, son of Craig Kelly, former Magpie champ and manager extraordinaire these days. Cole Chaney out with Grig. And for the Demons, Kennedy Harris comes in. Jack Viney out with a broken leg for about a month. The D's defeated Adelaide last year at this venue. Tomo, can they do it again?
No.
Right.
No, they can't. I actually called that game over there as well. And Melbourne were fantastic. You know what Melbourne did last year, half?
What'd they do?
They basically headlocked Adelaide into submission.
Right.
It was a defensive game where Melbourne just held and held and held. And then they got them on the fast break for a goal. And then they, you know, it was quite tactically a brilliant effort from Paul Roos. It was a great effort by those Melbourne players to play to that game plan and get the job done, because they held the damn wall up against the Crows all day long, and you just can't see it happening. Jacobs is in the top three from Ruckman in the league. They look very healthy. There's great run down forward with Walker up and going, and so many dangerous players. I mean, Lynch underrated. You've got speed in Betts and Cameron, and Ellis Yeoman showed some really good signs last week. It's probably one of the first times I've had a closer look at him. They're just a level above the Demons at the moment. They were so poor in that second half, the Demons. I tipped them last week. The first half, I was sitting there patting myself on the back, and then all of a sudden it was tools away. So they'd be disappointed with that. They look like they've taken some steps forward, but the last half last week was a step back, and a trip to Adelaide a bit too much for this club.
Yep. Pretty well said. I agree. Adelaide to win. Sydney and the Giants in the Battle of the Bridge, whatever they call it up there these days. Cunningham comes in for Adam Goods. I'll get your opinion on that, Tomo. Phillips in for the Giants, and Tomlinson out for a while with turf toe.
Turf toe hurts.
Turf toe hurts.
Don't underestimate it half. Oh. And don't underestimate the man with the sausages on board, Big Shane Mumford.
Well, he was the difference last week, wasn't he?
Well, he's been the difference the first 2 weeks. He was amazing against the Saints in round one. Just manhandled Billy Longer and the whole St Kilda team. And last week he was absolutely fantastic as well. I mean, Mark Jamar and the Melbourne team just couldn't handle Big Shane Mumford. He was too physical for them. And players, I mentioned it last week, you know, players like Whitfield and Dylan Scheel and these type of players, they're only a couple of years into their craft, but they're starting to show those signs that they're going to be players of the future. Cam McCarthy pops up and does some great things.
The great McCarthy, we call him.
The great McCarthy, righto. He's certainly shown some signs that he's going to be a player that can step up and be a two-pronged attack there with Jeremy Cameron, which is great. And defensively, Phil Davis has been really good for them. So great to see. You know, he's had some issues since coming across from Adelaide.
Yep.
Great to see him up and running. I don't think they can beat the Swans, but I think they can be a little thorn in their side. I think it can be a pretty competitive game. Swans, for me, in this game, their pressure last week at Port Adelaide was terrific. Just an amazing four-quarter performance, not of sublime skill, just of pressuring an opposition who is a very, very skillful team into turning the football over at crucial times and making them pay when ball was in hand. Awesome. Forward line too dangerous. They don't have players that can play on Tippett and Franklin and then look after Heaney and Reed. And the midfield, we know how strong that is as well. So Sydney, a touch too good, but looking forward to the game. I'm going to be calling this one, Huff.
You are. You'll be there for this game with Brett Phillips calling the action there at the SCG. Just on the Adam Goods situation, what's your take on that, Tomo? Adam Goods.
Do you know the danger with a champion like Adam Goods or any player playing to past the use-by date or past going that 1 year too many?
What's that?
Is exactly what's happening here, is the player will want to be out there and believes that the service that he's given the club should be given more credits as far as, you know, an extra game. So I'm sure Adam's probably sitting there thinking, what, you can't give me one more game in the seniors to get my fitness up or two more games in the seniors to get my fitness up? I can't do that as the sub. Now, I'm assuming what's going on at the moment. It sounds like he doesn't want to play as the sub, so he's going to go back to the kneeful and play down there. It'd be really sad if Adam Goods there's any sort of disengagement with him and the Sydney Swans over this last year. Because he has been such a champion, but this sort of thing happens behind closed doors every single year. That a player who stayed one extra year, and it was whether it was agreed upon or not, or whatever it was, once you go too long as a player, the alarm bells go off, and unfortunately, things can turn bad.
All right, we'll see what unfolds there with Goodsy, but Sydney to win that game. The Battle of the Bridge against the Giants at the SCG. Tomo and BP calling the action there tomorrow afternoon. North Melbourne and Port Adelaide, Tomo. We'll get to that one. I think that's match of the round. It's an absolute corker. The Kangas disappointing the first week. Bounced back against meek opposition last week. Take on and get measured against Port Adelaide this week, who are zipping two, zipping three suggests. It's difficult to make the finals. The Cats are the last team to do it in 2004. Ins for the Kangas, Tarrant and Bastanac. Out Del Santo had surgery yesterday. And Joel Tippett, that hasn't worked just yet, according to the Kangaroos Match Committee. In for the Power. Nathan Cracker's back in. It's a fantastic story. Amazing story. Mitchell, Young and Archie into the team. Kane Corns rested. Redden, Need and Impey out with a hamstring. Brendan Archie, the 21-year-old from South Frio. Tomo?
Interesting game. If this was over at Adelaide, I'd obviously be so confident regarding Port.
Six of the last seven at Etihad North have beaten Port.
Yeah, no, they've got a great
record. Port haven't been Port like we've seen in the last 12 months for too long. But
no, correct. But
that's part of it, but that's
saying,
a pretty good record.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure, correct me if I'm wrong, North Melbourne also beat Port down at Blundstone Arena early stages of last year
maybe
as well.
Correct,
so
correct.
Which shows they do have a really good record against this team. The thing that concerns me for North Melbourne is that if Port Adelaide, they understand now what level of football and commitment they need to play with. to make sure that they get a victory, because they've played pretty darn well in the first 2 weeks against Freo and also Sydney, and they've met the measuring sticks. Now they come up against a team that, well, is going to be somewhere in that region, whether it's somewhere near them or just below them. They know if they don't bring the fire and brimstone and the kitchen sink, they're going to get beaten. So yep. I actually think they'll bring it. I think Paddy Ryder going into the ruck and playing probably as a one-out ruckman against Todd Goldstein is just going to be an amazing matchup. Goldstein's been in awesome form. Paddy loves that as well. So that he's got the leap and the agility and the skill to go with Goldstein across the ground, which will be a great matchup. I think midfield-wise, I think the edge has to go to Port Adelaide. If they're on their mettle, they've got more, more depth. Yep. In the players they've got there. So from a contested ball winning and also skill level, I'd give the tick to Port Adelaide just in that region. And then if we're looking forward and back, I also give the tick just to Port Adelaide in that region as well. So if both teams are playing their best, I'm going to pick Port Adelaide in this game just. Good to see the Kangaroos bounce back. Good to see Jared Waite and Sean Higgins show some good signs. But I loved your call there, Half. Measuring week. Yep. First week was abysmal. Second week, I think they played a team that has just been terrible in their first couple of weekends, and now they get to play against a team who's actually been informed but hasn't won a game, and they'll be breathing fire.
Well, they beat Port at Etihad last year, Tomo, early in the season. They beat Adelaide down at Blundstone Arena in a tight one later on in the season, which might have been the one you were thinking about. My concern with Port here is that Sydney might have given North a bit of a blueprint as to just sit back, numbers behind the footy, which North like to do, and then sort of springboard from halfback with their run and carry.
Yep.
Sydney showed that was a pretty powerful method of attacking Port last week. Yeah, that might play into their hands.
What else? Yeah, that's a really good call. What else did Sydney do, though? Frontal pressure was just enormous.
Yeah.
Like, the pressure that they put on the ball carrier was just absolutely enormous. And if North Melbourne can do that, well, they certainly give themselves a chance to win the game. I think Del Sando's a huge out for the Kangaroos.
Yep.
That's a big concern for me. I think it really attacks their midfield depth. And, you know, that's certainly one of the reasons I'm going to just tick Port Adelaide.
I'm tipping the Kangas. I reckon they might be able to do it.
All right, you
they
go,
just
girl.
Just might be able to do it. I will go, girl.
Hey, I want the Kangas to win.
I know you do.
You know I want
the
Kangas.
I know Port can, but I just think North might.
I just think if you put the two form lines up against each other,
yep,
no, they just get pipped by Freo. What did Freo do to Geelong down at Geelong?
Well, I've got a thing about Etihad Stadium in North. I've got a thing. Okay. Doesn't matter who they're playing, I've got a thing. I've got a thing, Tomo. Don't make me bring out the thing. I've been thinking about Tomo's banned list on the Friday footy preview. Teams that he's banned already 2 weeks in. And I've got a feeling that it might be the next game for discussion. The Brisbane Lions and the Richmond Football Club. Tomo, you can agree with me or not shortly. Inns, Staker back for the Lions. Aish, big headlines about him today. Gardner and Andrews come in on debut Harris-Andrews. Close out with that ACL rupture for the year. Leuenberger, the big one there. Leicester and O'Brien out for them. For the Tigers, great to see Chris Knights getting another crack. Edwards and Astbury come in. Pettard, Grimes, Lambert, all injured, Tomo. Are these on the ban list?
They are. The Vortex, they're back. The Vortex, they're back.
The for Tigers have always had you in the Vortex.
Oh, my stars. I tipped them against the Bulldogs last week, and yes. I was burnt. My fingers, the tips of my fingers were burnt, and they've been banned.
Banned.
And Brisbane, the way they've played the first 2 weekends, they're officially banned. They have been really, really bad. And
Can't argue with that.
They get back to the Gabba, so they're back on their home ground. You know, they've been so disappointed with the midfield of the Brisbane Lions. You know, they seem to have guys that are pretty happy to rack up a few kicks, but I'm just not sure that they've got enough blue collar in that midfield to get the job done against good teams or good opposition in this competition. Too many kick getters, not enough guys actually, you know, doing the hard one percenters for the team. That's defensive pressure and the like. Because if they get the ball on their terms and they're running forward Brisbane, I think they become a dangerous team. But if the opposition is up for the fight and certainly up to win the contested ball and put pressure on, I think Brisbane fall away very, very easily. And I think the Tigers last week were so poor in that area that this is what they do. So I'm going to have to go the Tigers. So they are officially the Vortex.
Right, they're the Vortex.
They could get me again. They burnt my hands last week.
Yes.
I'm going back in there because, hey, I think I trust them more than I trust the Lions at the moment. Now, I thought their midfield was pretty disappointing last week, the Tigers. Too many guys ringing the contest, standing out, waiting for the posse, sideways, backwards, all that sort of stuff.
Bulldogs happy for them to do that all
day
long.
And they pressured them, won the ball back, and they end up killing them with the turnovers. And I think the Tigers would have had a great look at that tape and thought, seriously, is this the way we want to play footy? No, we need to do something about it. And they'll go up. This is the sort of thing, going away from home, they'll go up there and they'll win this game of footy. So, gee, they were... Alex Rance.
Yep.
What a fantastic game.
Yep.
He was under, and that back line was under so much pressure early in that game, and the amount of football that he repelled and the back line. So his teammates helped him out there, but he was, you know, take a bow stuff. He was unbelievable. The amount of contested ball that he won and contest that he won, he was absolutely sensational. So the vortex for me in this one half.
But, yep.
They need more out of Cochin. Had 34 last week, their captain. 34 sideways kicks aren't going to help your team.
Yeah, let's go goal to goal.
He needs to start moving that ball forwards and having more impact with those possessions. Dustin Martin's had a few posies. He needs to have more impact as well. They need to get a bit more happening, the Tigers.
Brisbane got no avenues to goal. They'll try another system this week. It won't work as far as it needs to, and Richmond will win that game. Let's get to Sunday's games. Tomo extended squads from here on. Hawthorn and Western Bulldogs. Mitchell Gibson, Whitecross. Schoenmakers and Hartung into the squad. Frawley and O'Rourke. Outski. Frawley out for a bit. The Bulldogs, who were so good the last couple of weeks. Stevens, Roberts, Rovat and Webb comes in for his game. Out goes Easton Wood with a hamstring injury. Aurora Stadium tomorrow. And we will be there with Rob Waters, yourself and Scotty Lucas. Sunday.
On Sunday, mate. This is going to be a ripping game. Bulldogs have shown that they're up for the fight, the Doggies, 2-0. And of course, the Hawks, what they showed is if they take their foot off the pedal, they are just like other clubs, they're gettable. Two big ins in Josh Gibson back into the team and also Sam Mitchell.
Yep.
But that doesn't make the difference for the intensity from that first half from last week, because they just weren't up for the fight like the Bombers were, and they got a big cold fish right across the chops.
Wooshka.
Frawley out, pectoral. It was disappointing for them. O'Rourke just hasn't quite found his mark at the moment, but I think the Hawks can cover those. I think they've got enough. The Hawks will just have a bit too much power to get over the top of the Western Bulldogs. But the Doggies will come with the pressure. They'll certainly try to do the same as they've done to the other two teams so they've played so far this year. And they've been very impressive. I mean, Honeychurch, Johannesson, Dixon's having a very good season. Ling Jong is super impressive. The Bont, McRae, Wallace, these sort of guys, they're really taking a great step, this young football club, and doing a good job.
They are. Hawthorn would have got a bit of a spark, I reckon, from last week's game. Hard not to love the Bulldogs and what they've done. I think they're going to struggle to measure up against the Hawks down at Tassie. So Hawks for me in that one. Geelong and Gold Coast, Simmons Stadium, both teams zipping two on the season so far. Bartell, Rivers, Motlop, Walker, Thurlow, Murdoch. Good names in there for the Cats. Mackie, Smets and Simpson. Outski. Mitch Clark plays 100 games. Tom Hawkins plays 150. Good luck, boys. And for the Gold Coast, what about this? 8 changes at this stage. McKenzie, Shaw, Nichols, Matera, Gorringe, Shade, Lining and Hall in. Out go Harbrow, Broughton, Hallahan, Sexton and Ablett. Henry Shade playing his first game.
Yes, Gold Coast are my fourth banned club, so I'm not going to select them.
Righto.
One thing I'll say about the Cats half is it's not through lack of effort. Personally, just from watching and calling the game last week,
yep,
I thought their commitment to the contest was good, but they let themselves down with turnovers under Fremantle's pressure. And that was the difference in the opening half, as well as the difference being Sandilands, Mundy, Fife and Neil, that midfield combination. Sandilands, some of the journos didn't have Sandilands in the best last week. You don't know your footy if he wasn't in the best. That's the impact that this big guy was having on the game, with where he was putting the ball, his body work in the ruck, his follow-up as well, knocking bodies out of the way. He had a huge impact on that game, and he definitely should have been in the best players. From that point of view, the Cats, they were out-muscled, but their first 2 weeks, they've been playing at the top
pretty
of the tree.
Team, yep.
They're now playing a team that is in all sorts. So Cats for me.
Cats for me. Gold Coast are on my banned list too at the minute. They can show me they're better than that before they get back out of that list. West Coast and Fremantle, the Derby. We'll be there with Tim Gossage, Ben Allen and Glenn Jakovich and SEN Footy. Butler Hill, McInnes and College into the squad. Tunbridge out for them. Fraser McGuinness, first timer from Perth. Mazungu, Hannah, Duffy, and Crozier in. Ballantyne out suspended. Kem Sutcliffe plays game number 50. Tomo, who wins the derby?
From what I've seen, if Freo don't get injuries, they will finish on top of the ladder this year, half. That's where I'm putting them at the moment from what I've seen so far this season. Absolutely fantastic. Fife is officially the best player in the comp.
Yep.
He was amazing last week. They beat the Eagles, but yeah, the Eagles did well last week. They gave Carlton what they deserved, and you know what? Great to see a full forward kick 10 goals like Josh Kennedy, but he will certainly not get it his own way against the Dockers with their defensive pressure.
Fill your boots against teams you can. Good call on Josh Kennedy, but not going to be happening this week. Freo by plenty, I reckon, in the derby.